On Midwest Week, a look back at this year's mostly successful season for the Quad Cities River Bandits. I'm Herb Trix, and my guest is Steve Batterson, sports reporter for the Quad City Times. So, Steve, the River Bandits won the Midwest League title a year ago, but not this year. What happened?
They reached the playoffs this year for the fourth time in 6 years as an Astros affiliate. They were swept away by Peoria in two games in the best of three opening round. And Peoria's gone on and is playing for the championship this week.
So. Oh, okay. So at least they lost to a good team?
They've lost to a team that was playing very well down the stretch, yes.
Now, how did they do against Peoria during the regular season?
They actually, I think, won 13 of the 20 regular season games between the team. And it shows you what a short series can do. Close loss in game one, followed by a loss in game two, and you're done.
Now, overall, though, it was still a good season.
Yeah, it was an 81-61 season for this team, including the two playoff losses. Only three teams in Quad Cities Midwest League history, 58 years, have won more than 81 games. So, yeah, it was in a lot of ways a very successful season in terms of both wins on the field and also in terms of development. 22 players moved on to higher levels in the Astros organization, and 17 of those players who played here this year won a Carolina League championship on Tuesday night of this week.
So if they'd stayed here, we might have done a little bit better.
It could have been possible. You never know. The winning pitcher actually, or the starting pitcher in that championship game was Brian Abreu, who was here last week and was scheduled to work a game Friday night that didn't happen.
So compared to opening day, how many of those opening day players were still here?
Three.
And is that normal? That's the usual for...
You know what? It has become kind of the normal. Mm-hmm. The only position player that made it from opening day to the closing bell here was catcher Michael Papirski. Last year, there was one player that made it from start to finish, and that was a catcher as well, Chucky Robinson. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's by accident. I think they like the stability that a catcher can provide. There were two pitchers who also were here from start to finish.
So does that mean that the Astros sent us very good players this year?
It means that they've sent decent prospects who mm-hmm. have met the challenges at this level and who were deemed ready to kind of move on to take on the challenge at the next level. Both the game-winning run in that Carolina League Championship Series was driven in by Jonathan Arias, who spent a lot of this season here in the Quad Cities. Seth Beer, who was the Astros' first-round pick in this year's draft, came in and hit about 430 here in a little over a month in mid-season, and he ended up being promoted as well. Jake Adams, who started the season mm-hmm. here, was 3-for-5 in that championship game last night. So it was an interesting mix of players down there, and a lot of them spent a lot of time here this summer.
And didn't the River Bandits, I think I read one of your stories that the River Bandits set some strikeout records this year?
Both good and bad, yes. Mm-hmm. They demolished the minor league baseball strikeout record for a pitching staff. They ended the season with 1,514 strikeouts, which was well over 200 more than the previous Midwest League record, and 100 more than any other team in minor league baseball had ever struck out in a single season. So, the pitchers had a pretty good clue of how to work the strike zone and were very effective in doing that. On the flip side of that, on the final day of the season, the offense also recorded a franchise record for strikeouts. They kind of stumbled across that line by like 8 or 9 strikeouts overall, but it didn't seem to have too much of an effect on the bottom line. And I think, the strikeouts, that's a big part of baseball right now in terms of the way the game has evolved. So from both a pitching and a hitting standpoint, one good, one not so good, it was a record-setting year.
But still, they had such a good year with 81 wins. Would this have been sort of a policy of the manager saying, go for it? This is what we're doing here, player development, so hit away?
Yeah, I think there was an aggressive mindset. This was a team that had some trouble scoring runs at times and bunching hits together and that type of thing. And Mickey Storey, who was a first-year manager, came out with the idea of wanting his guys to be aggressive at the plate and trying to make some things happen. They were aggressive on the base paths as well. They were often trying to stretch a single into a double into a triple, put some pressure on the defense and see what you could come up with. It was a big part of why the team won 81 games is that they did take that approach because the runs were hard to come by throughout much of the summer.
Now, off the field and in the stands, how did the River Bandits do this year?
They topped 200,000 again, which is kind of the bench water mark. Ended up with 215,000 and change. It was a little bit down from last year. A lot of that can be attributed to some weather issues early in the season throughout the league. There were only three teams that finished with an attendance total higher than in 2017. And that rough April, very cold, chilly, that carried over into mid-May really impacted everybody in the league. And Quad Cities was included in that. Their per-game attendance was pretty much on par with where it's been, around 3,100 per game, and that's a number that they kind of shoot for.
Now, the final day of the season, they announced the extension of the affiliation agreement. So does that mean that the Astros, the team owner Dave Heller, and the city of Davenport are all happy together?
Well, it certainly means that the Astros feel comfortable with sending their players to the Quad Cities. It's a six-year agreement in the past, and this will run it out to the end of the 2020 season. So it'll be an eight-year agreement. That's the longest affiliation Quad Cities will have had with anybody since the Quad City Angels were here from the early 1960s until the Cubs came in I believe it was 77 or 78. It is a long-term relationship, and I think Houston obviously has sent good talent through here. That pleases Dave Heller, the owner of the team. On the flip side, Houston feels like their players have been treated well here in the Quad Cities, and they have a quality facility to work out of. And so both parties have agreed that it's in their best interest to extend the current agreement. You have an option to do that for either a two-year period or a four-year period. Dave likes a two-year window. He feels like that kind of puts a little bit of pressure on the Major League affiliate to provide decent talent, and certainly that has been the case.
Now, Steve, there was a new rule for the minor leagues this year about extra innings games and something about, correct me if I'm wrong, starting a runner on second base.
Yes.
How did that work out?
The runner who recorded the final out in the ninth inning became the runner on second base to open the 10th.
Okay, so any time that went to 10th inning, okay.
That it would, whoever it happened to be, if it was the catcher, it was the catcher. If it was, a fleet-footed outfielder, it was a fleet-footed outfielder. So it was kind of a roll of the dice. The idea being to shorten extra inning games, reduce wear and tear on pitchers. Quad Cities found itself, I believe, and it was like 13 or 14 extra inning games, which is a fairly normal number. Those games did tend to end after either 10 or 11 innings. There weren't games, you didn't see games that stretched on to the 15th or 16th inning like would occasionally happen in the past. And from that standpoint, I think they were pleased with it. And the last numbers I saw were kind of through July. It wasn't really a situation where it was benefiting the home team or the visiting team. It all came down to execution and being able to push a run across in extra innings, as it always had. People initially thought that would give a great advantage to the home team, but statistically, that didn't prove itself out.
And one last thing, how healthy is the Midwest League these days, and will everybody be around next spring that we're around this year?
Yeah, through the 2020 season, which is also when a new professional baseball agreement, the contract between the majors and the minors, comes into play. Everybody's set to return. Beloit is probably the franchise that people talk about a lot, just because they've struggled to come up with a facility there that meets the standards. They put a self-imposed September 3 deadline on things. They have ownership that is apparently willing to purchase the team with an idea of building a new facility in downtown Beloit.